Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So good to see all of you here today. And again, especially if you are new, if you're visiting here, maybe you came with your mom to church today. We're so glad that you are here today. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the room today. Let's give them a big hand. I want to give a big shout out to my own mom. She just had hip replacement surgery 2 weeks ago in New Mexico. This is a picture of her coming back home the day after surgery with my brother and my sister-in-law, and so thankful for them and the support they're giving her while I'm far away here in Canada. And I am so thankful for my mom and just so proud of her in the process that she's making, the steps that she's taking with this hip replacement surgery. So, Mama, if you're watching on the live stream, I love you. My name is Ben, and the last time I was preaching here at Walnut Grove, I was still the Young Adults and Care Ministries pastor. I had one day left in that job, and that has now changed, and now I am the Willowbrook campus pastor, our church's newest campus. Thank you. We as a church are so excited for this campus, as Matthew just shared in the video. This is our family of churches saying we're planting a new family member here. And this Willowbrook campus is like the newest sibling, right? If you've got multiple siblings in your family, this is like the baby brother or sister in the family. I feel like a little bit like the little brother on the campus pastor's team. Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jeff, they're actually older than me, so I just want to put that out there. But they've also walked this campus planting road before me at Yorkson and at Aldergrove. And I'm so thankful and so grateful to them for the wisdom they've shared with me, for the help along the way. And so just thankful that I'm not doing this without them having gone before. Well, as a church, we're in a series in the book of Colossians, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae over 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago. We're calling the series Alive in Christ, because this really short letter is just full of implications for how we live out the new reality of being in Christ, of what it means to be alive in Christ. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, Christ's victory over death, Christ's victory over sin and the grave on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead. And this letter to the Colossians is all about how we now can live into that new reality. Paul writes elsewhere to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there is the new creation. There is the new creation. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Matthew kicked off our series here at Walnut Grove, and he reminded us of that core message of the gospel when we start living that out. When we realize that we are now alive in Christ, how do we live that out? We love one another. And that comes with challenges, but that's the core of what we're doing. We love one another. And then last Sunday, he was preaching on the supremacy of Christ, how all things in creation are created through Christ and for him and by him, and all things hold together in Christ. So today we're backtracking a little bit. We're actually going back in chapter 1 still to verses 9 to 14. So it's a little bit out of order, but I hope you can follow along. And I just want to let you know, I'm going to be focusing a lot today on our Willowbrook campus and just sharing about that campus, why I'm excited about it, but why I think our whole church family should be excited about it. And so it connects with our passage for today. I hope it connects with your life wherever you're at. You're obviously here at Walnut Grove this morning, but I hope that it connects with you as well. But just to let you know, I'm going to be sharing about our Willowbrook campus and hopefully getting all of us excited about what God is doing there. So we're going to read verses 9 to 14, and I'm going to be focusing on the phrase that's in here that we'll come across that where Paul says, we are called to bear fruit in every good work. Called to bear fruit in every good work. Wherever God plants us, Walnut Grove or Willowbrook, we're called to bear good fruit. And what does that fruit look like? What does that fruit look like individually, but also as a church for our campuses? What does that fruit look like in our communities as they're transformed by the gospel, the good news of Jesus who's come to rescue us and the world? So verses 9 to 14, it's just a paragraph, but it's really packed with so many ideas. This is classic Paul, so we're going to break it down as we go through the message after we read. It'll be on the screen for you to follow along, or you can open your Bibles as well and just have that open there. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 to 14. For this reason, Paul writes, and the reason he's writing is the faith that he has heard of the Colossians having. He's not met them yet, but he's heard of their faith in Jesus, the way the gospel has come to Colossae. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Would you join me as we pray, asking God's blessing on our time as we study his word? God, our Father, we thank you for the good news that in Jesus we've been redeemed from darkness into your kingdom of light. We thank you for how that gospel, that good news has been shared with us, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to share that good news with others and to bear good fruit in every good work, to live it out. God, we pray, as Paul prayed for the church in Colossians, that you would fill us with spiritual wisdom, with understanding. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, again, if you have your Bibles, please keep them open. You can follow along, or the slides will be up there. Reading Paul, I don't know if you've noticed this already in Colossians, the couple Sundays we've had. Reading Paul, even in English, not Greek, is like chewing on a really thick slice of home-baked sourdough bread. One of the few good things to come out of COVID, all the home bakers. It's really good. I don't know, maybe you've not tried that yet, but it's really good. You get a piece of the crust, but it takes a lot of work to chew through that. So Paul here, I think, could take some suggestions from Grammarly, probably. But let me just try to give you an overview of what Paul is saying. First, the context for these verses here, actually from the beginning of the letter to verse 14, is a prayer that Paul would have been praying for the church in Colossae and that he records for them here. He says, "We have not stopped praying for you." So this is just not just a one-time prayer, but a continual prayer that Paul was praying for the church there. It doesn't mean that he was sort of always walking around, muttering to himself, praying, but actually that he was probably at his regular times of prayer, morning, noon, and evening, remembering the church in Colossae. In the same way that our elders and our pastors here are remembering you, this church, in our prayers when we gather and we pray for the needs of this church. By the way, if you're looking for something to pray for people, this is a really good example. You can use these verses here to pray for the people in your life, your friends, your family, those who you're praying that they would encounter Jesus. I want to summarize Paul's prayer in these verses, but I want to make it personal for us here today. So, brothers and sisters at NLCC Walnut Grove, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that you would have spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you here can live lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. And this is what lives worthy of the Lord will look like. They'll be bearing fruit in every good work that you undertake. They'll be growing in the knowledge of God. They'll be strengthened according to God's power at work in you. You'll be full of endurance and patience as you face the challenges of this life. And you'll always be giving joyful thanks in all of your circumstances. How can I pray this for you so boldly here this morning? Because you, friends, have an inheritance as saints in the kingdom of light. You've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. You have redemption and forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus has done for you. Because you are in Christ. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians and my prayer for us here today. Verse 9, just briefly, being filled with the knowledge of God's will doesn't mean some sort of special, exclusive knowledge. Sometimes we use the language of, oh, I want to know God's will for my life, and we're thinking about like a next step in our career, maybe a relationship we're thinking about pursuing. Those are important things to ask for God's will to be done in. But Paul is writing here really about God's overarching will, his will to save the whole world, to redeem the whole world through his son Jesus, and through what Jesus has done on the cross. And that's something that we can say really briefly in a sentence or two, but it takes the Spirit applying it to our hearts, to take it from our minds to our hearts and to our lives and to our actions. And so that's what Paul is praying for here, spiritual wisdom, wisdom from the Spirit to apply that to our lives. When we do that, when the Spirit starts to apply that to our lives, we start living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him in every way, as verse 10 says. I don't know what you think of when you hear that phrase, pleasing to God in every good way, what your image of God is. Some of us, sadly, have an image of God kind of as a grumpy old man in heaven, kind of wagging his finger at us because we're always doing something wrong. Paul gives us a very different image here. He says that as we're being transformed by the gospel, God delights in us. He's pleased with us. He sees us in light of Jesus and what Jesus has done. And as we start to change, as our lives start to change, as we start to line up our lives with God's will, He's pleased for us. He's excited for us. He's like a parent watching their child take their first steps. Or like me when my girls started riding their pedal bikes for the first time, trying so hard to get down the driveway. I was so excited for them. And so these lives that are worthy of the Lord, that are pleasing to Him, not because we're trying so hard, but because His power is at work in us, will bear fruit in every good work. Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. I want you to take a moment and turn to your neighbor, whether it's someone you came with today, a family member or friend, or maybe it's a stranger and this is a way to just say hello to them. I want you to tell them your favorite fruit, okay? So take 30 seconds and just tell them your favorite fruit. Okay, wow. You never know what's going to happen when you ask a question like that. It ignited some fierce debates, I think, among some people already, which is okay. Maybe you had to do some deep soul searching to figure out what is my favorite fruit. There are so many out there. I'm just going to name a few of my own, and maybe if that was your favorite fruit, you could give me a woohoo or an amen or just raise your hand, you know, whatever you want to do. Raspberries, anyone? Yeah, okay. Mangoes, if we're going tropical fruit. Yeah, mangoes, good. Wow, a lot of mango lovers here, that's good. Okay, but how about for summer fruit in BC, an Okanagan peach? Yeah, okay, let's give it up. For the peach trees, I'm going to tell you a little story about a peach tree. This is the story of the little peach tree. Lillian and I were married almost 10 years ago. In the summer, it'll be 10 years. And for our wedding, Lillian wanted trees as part of the backdrop on the stage in the church where we were getting married. We were getting married in Vancouver at the church that I attended there. And she said, I want trees for our wedding. I said, of course, honey, we'll have trees for your wedding. Our wedding, excuse me. Slip of the tongue there. So I happened to be working in landscaping at the time in Vancouver, and I had access to a truck, which is really helpful when you need to transport trees. And I found I found some trees at a local hardware store, actually, just in my neighborhood, which was very convenient. And so I was able to buy these two peach trees, and they were up on the stage for our wedding, and really beautiful, and I'm really glad we had them there. After the wedding, I'm thinking, I spent good money on these trees. We need to get these to Langley somehow. We were moving to Langley. And so after the wedding, don't worry, not like right after the wedding, like I waited a couple days, I transported these trees in our Corolla back to Langley. I had to like fold down the seats. The trees are like leaning sideways in there. I lost a little bit of dirt, but it's okay. And I brought them back. I gave one to Pastor Jeff. He put it up into his house, and that one died. The other tree, though, I planted at the place that we were renting right here in Walnut Grove. And our landlord said, like, sure, you can plant a tree here. That looks great. So that was really nice of him to let us plant that tree. And I was so excited because I'm like, okay, this summer we're going to have some peaches. Well, the first year, if you know anything about trees and growing fruit, there were no peaches on this tree. The second year, though, we had this tree. Two peaches. Yes, one for me, one for Lillian. The next year, four peaches. And I'm thinking, okay, 4, 8, 16, if you do the math here, in 10 years, we're going to be at over 1,000 peaches. Well, after 5 years, unfortunately, we moved, and I could not tend this peach tree anymore. But it's still growing. I think we have a picture of it up there. This is the same tree here, 10 years later, still growing. I don't think it's going to have 1,000 peaches, but I'm hoping it will have at least a few, and I'm going to go back to our landlord there and ask if we could maybe have a few. Hopefully still bearing fruit. Well, here's the point of my story of the little peach tree here, is that as the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done in our lives, is planted in us, it starts to take root. And it grows up like a tree, and it starts to bear fruit. It bears fruit in our own lives as we grow in kindness, in patience, in gentleness. It bears fruit in our relationships as we're transformed, as we find reconciliation and healing. It bears fruit in our communities as people experience service and generosity on behalf of Jesus by the people of God. The fruit of the good news is being spread to other people. We're sharing the good news with others. And like a juicy, sun-warmed Okanagan peach, the fruit of the gospel is delightful. It's so good. And like that little peach tree from our wedding, it starts to multiply. It starts to spread to those around us, to our communities, across the world. When I think about the gospel bearing fruit, I just want to celebrate a few ways in which I see that happening across our church, starting with our Walnut Grove campus right here. And I do this not to kind of boast about what we're doing, but just to give you a sense of some of the stories, some of the things that are happening here, of how the gospel is bearing fruit, of how God is at work. I think, did you know, for example, that here at our church this last year, we ran the Freedom Session program, not only in English, but in Spanish this past year. And Cecilia Lopez, who's on our prayer team here, she actually coordinated that, got together a bunch of amazing facilitators, and together they had over 20 people taking Freedom Session in Spanish this year at our church here. That is so exciting. If you've ever been to one of our Freedom Session graduations, and I know some of you have been involved, whether it's been as participants or table leaders, or maybe you've been a sponsor for people or a family member and you've come, what a powerful time to hear the stories of God transforming people's lives. Freedom from addiction, healed relationships, shame and regret being removed from people's lives. When I took that as an intern 10 years ago when I started off here at Langley, it was a really transformative experience for me to take that, to work through some things in my own life that I felt like I was not worthy. I was not worthy. That was a message that I had kind of taken on myself. And Freedom Session helped me find freedom in Christ through that. So I just want to celebrate that. And thank you to Rick, to Sue, and to Cecilia, and Isaac, and the team of table leaders who made that happen this year. I think of other things to celebrate. Our Alpha program this last year was just bursting with people, and especially youth, and our youth team that invited their friends, their peers from Walnut Grove High School and other high schools. 60 to 70 youth in here Wednesday nights, coming to know more about Jesus, being exposed to the gospel, maybe for the first time. Just to give you a little glimpse of what's happening at some of our other campuses as well, our Alder Grove campus is growing, but there's so many cool things that are happening there. There are unchurched youth that are coming to their youth group there from the local high schools. They're like, we just love this youth group. We want to be part of this. They're coming. The Alder Grove Food Bank reached out to our church and said, could you partner with us to raise more food for people who are in need this season? We did the Mountain of Food across our campuses in October, and they said in the spring, this is a lean season, we need more food for people, for families, could you help us? And so for the month of May, they're collecting food there to donate to the Alder Grove Food Bank. If I think of our Yorkson campus community, bearing fruit there, so many cool ways. I think of their Easter egg hunt a couple of weeks ago. That's been a tradition that they've put on for many years. Hundreds of people, hundreds of kids there from the community showing up to collect Easter eggs and to have an opportunity to touch, to make a connection with people from our church. We're known in that community as a church that wants to bless the people there. And as we prepare to launch a fourth campus as a church, I would love to see some of those same things happening in Willowbrook, right? People being known in community, impacting and blessing our neighborhood there in Clayton Heights. New people coming to know Jesus for the first time. And opportunities for people to grow in their gifts, to serve both the church and our neighborhood. And each of those things is going to look different. wherever we're planted, right? Like Walnut Grove, this campus has been here for close to 30 years now, and it's taken on its own unique flavor and character here based on the things that are around us. Our Willowbrook campus is very new and very different, and so I just want to share a few things about that area. If you're not familiar with Langley, or maybe you haven't driven down there recently, just to give you a sense of what's happening in Willowbrook. This is a community with lots of new people moving in. People from other parts of the Lower Mainland and people from other parts of the world. Townhouse complexes going up, condo towers going up. It's a place where people have not put down roots yet. And they're looking for connection. They're hungry for friendship. They're looking for a place to belong. And we want our church to be that kind of a church where they can belong and find that connection. Willowbrook is culturally very diverse as well. It's a high population with Filipino background, Korean background, Chinese and South Asian background. And that is just a wonderful opportunity for us as a church to celebrate the diversity that we have in the body of Christ, as well as the unity that we have in Christ. Later in Colossians, Paul writes, "The dividing lines that have divided us have been broken down by the gospel." The dividing lines between race, between socioeconomic classes, between countries have been broken down by what God has done for us in Jesus. Christ is all and is in all. And that's my hope for this new campus, that we would reflect our unity, our identity in Christ, but also our diversity and the beauty that comes with that. Willowbrook is closer to downtown than any of our other campuses. And with that location come opportunities to reach out to the homeless population, to those who are suffering there in downtown Langley and don't have homes and things like that. And we'd love to see our Willowbrook campus become a hub for making meals for people, for sharing that through our Langley outreach team that goes out on Sunday nights to not only serve meals, which is important, but to build friendships, to build relationships with people, to share the love of Jesus with them tangibly. And Langley, and that part of Langley in particular, have experienced a large influx of new immigrants and refugees in the last several years. This means challenges and opportunities for us to bear fruit as a church. I'm excited about partnerships with ministries like Raphael House or the Langley Food Bank. These are ministries that Jericho Ridge Church there has already partnered with, and we'd love to continue those partnerships to grow in them. They ran an alpha at the food bank, the Langley Food Bank, this last year. So exciting. People were using phones to translate the videos and to have conversations with each other because there were people from so many different languages there. Raphael House, an organization that provides food, but also clothing and spiritual care and ESL opportunities for people who are new to Canada. I would love for people in Langley and Surrey to know our church as a people of generous love who are sharing the love of Jesus with them tangibly. We want to be bearing fruit in every good work that God calls us to. Well, all four of our campuses, of course, not just Willowbrook, are trying to live out lives worthy of the Lord, lives that are bearing fruit. But each one is going to have a unique flavor and style depending on its context, its location, and what God is calling that campus to specifically. I think of this a little bit like a family, right? If you have a family with biological children, they carry the same DNA, and there's gonna be some family similarities. You're like, oh, I know that family, they look like this. I think of my own three girls. As babies, they were so similar to each other that actually like the iPhone facial recognition software like gets them confused, right? It's like mislabels them. See if you can tell the difference in these three photos here. This is Winter, Wren, and Poppy, all around the same, similar age. I could have tricked you and just used the same picture of one girl three times, but they're actually different, Winter, Wren, and Poppy there. But as our girls start to grow up, right, they start to look different and express different personalities. And so in the same way, each of our NLCC campuses here, we share the same core DNA, the same family DNA, but we're also unique, and that's a good thing. So I'm excited to see what Willowbrook will look like, what that campus will look like as it develops its own unique identity within the North Langley family, in that culturally diverse neighborhood of people at the border of Langley and Surrey, lots of new people hungry for Jesus. Well, let's look at our text again from Colossians 1, verses 11 and 12. By the way, I am not being paid for this product placement. But you should consider getting one. They're really good. The water is still cold from this morning, so it works for hot coffee too. Focusing on verses 11 and 12, back to Colossians 1 here. I'm going to start at verse 9 just to give us the context again. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Well, I want to focus now in the last part of our message here on those character qualities that we need to live out our message and our mission. That mission of living lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him and bearing fruit in every good work, wherever God has planted us. Two character qualities: great endurance and patience. I'm lumping those together. I know it's two words. Great endurance and patience. And the other one, joyful thanksgiving, giving joyful thanks. Endurance and patience is what you need when things get hard, when your life is not easy, maybe when your faith journey doesn't feel easy anymore and you're slogging through. You need endurance. It's like some of the hikes, actually almost all of the hikes in this area. If you do any hiking, it starts here and it goes straight up and there's very few breaks. And sometimes, depending on how high you start, there's not really a whole lot of views along the way either. You're like in the forest, in the Douglas firs. You get little glimpses maybe if you're lucky, if it's not rainy or cloudy. It takes endurance just to keep going, to keep plodding uphill. N.T. Wright, by the way, talks about endurance being something that we need for impossible situations, and patience is what we need with impossible people. Maybe you're thinking of an impossible person in your life right now. But these are the character qualities that we need, both individually and as a community, to live lives pleasing to God in every good work. Planting a new campus is going to take a lot of endurance and patience. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Kevin both told me that doing this planting of a new campus is the hardest thing they've done in ministry, as well as the most rewarding. Being on mission for God in your family, in your workplace, wherever God calls you, takes endurance and commitment. I just want to share a story of two of our missionaries that we support as a church, Marco and Pauline Hakola. They've been working in Mali for the last 20 plus years as Bible translators there. And they shared a story at our Mission Sunday via video of, after 20 years of work, I believe it was two people who expressed an interest for the first time in becoming believers in Jesus. It's like, wow, 20 years, that takes so much endurance and patience and commitment. I sincerely hope we don't have to wait 20 years for two baptisms or two new believers at Willowbrook. But we are going to face challenges. We are going to face things that are hard, and we will need endurance. I know that many of you here today have things that you need endurance for. Maybe it's a health situation that you're struggling with, a chronic thing that you just need God's grace and strength every day. Maybe it's a relationship in your family that is fractured and broken, and you're longing for reconciliation, and you need endurance to keep pursuing that. Maybe it's someone in your life that you love, and you would love for them to know Jesus, and you're praying for them, but you haven't seen any fruit there yet. It takes endurance to keep praying. May God grant all of us endurance and patience so that we can bear fruit in these things. The other character quality that Paul talks about here is joyful thanksgiving. Joyful thanksgiving. And this is just a theme throughout his letter. Paul prays in verse 12 that the Colossians would be giving joyful thanks to the Father. Joyful gratitude, thanksgiving to God, will overflow our lives as we live out the gospel. And the foundation, friends, the foundation of that gratitude is our new identity in Christ. Paul uses several images here to talk about this new reality. I think as the verse is up there, I'm just going to name these again. We're qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people. We're part of a kingdom of light. We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, Jesus. We have full redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And friends, maybe you're new here today and you're new to Jesus and you're wondering, like, what does this mean? What does this look like? How can I be part of the kingdom of light, part of the kingdom of the Son he loves? I would love to talk with you more about that. There's lots of other people here. Our prayer team members would love to share with you as well. If that's something that you're wondering about, how does that happen? But friends, this is the foundation. This is the foundation for all of our joyful thanksgiving in all of our life and for all of the other blessings that we receive from God as well. Again, as I'm thinking about this new campus, we have so much to be thankful for. And I just want to say these things again as an expression of thanks to God for what he's doing. I'm thankful for the willingness and the humility of the Jericho Ridge leadership and congregation to step into this merger and into this process. They've shown such grace and humility to come to us, to come to North Langley and say, we need help to be on mission together. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for this church as a whole that's been excited, that's been praying about being on mission together. That is so encouraging. We have a church that is ready to be multiplying, ready to be sharing the gospel in new ways with a new campus. I am so grateful for the anonymous donor who gave $4 million towards the mortgage of this building that brought down the cost to half of what it would have been, that's made this financially feasible. It's amazing. I'm thankful for so many of you right here in the room who have given sacrificially and generously, some of you from the beginning of this church in 1987, for ministry to happen, for this building here to be built. God is so good, and there's so many generous people who are sharing that and giving sacrificially, so thank you. We have so much to be thankful for. You might be wondering at this point, Ben, this Willowbrook campus sounds kind of cool. I think I'd like to be a part of that. How can I join? I'm so glad you asked. I want to just share a few tangible ways that you here at Walnut Grove can support us and can be part of this new campus. The first is pray. It sounds really simple. Sometimes it's a cliche, but I really mean it. Pray. Pray for this new campus. Pray for me and Pastor Eric as we give leadership to it. Pray for the process of bringing two congregations together and that we would have unity in that. Pray that we would be bearing fruit for the gospel in that neighborhood. Pray that we would be filled abundantly with faith, hope, and love. A couple weeks ago, I had lunch with another pastor from a church in that neighborhood in Clayton Heights, a little further into Surrey. And he's so excited about what we're doing as a church. He does not see this as competition. This is not, oh, North Langley's coming in and competing with other churches. He sees this as a way of extending the influence of the kingdom in that neighborhood. And he said, Ben, our church is committing to pray for you and your church every month. Once a month on a Sunday, we're going to get up. We pray for different ministries and churches. We're going to add you to that prayer list. And that was so encouraging for me as a pastor to feel like, wow, here's another church, not of our denomination, that's going to be praying for us. And so I would like to challenge you here at North Langley. Would you be praying for us? Individually in your prayers at home, but also as a community, when you come together for prayer here at Walnut Grove, would you be praying for us? N.T. Wright says, what is worked for must first be prayed for. What is worked for must first be prayed for. And so Eric and I and the rest of the team are working really hard for this campus, but we want to be praying first. We want to invite you to join into that. As Pastor Matthew said, there's a financial need still there for this campus, and maybe one opportunity that you have is to give generously towards that campus, to make ministry happen there. Another way that you can tangibly participate is in joining our launch team. I just want to give you just a really quick overview of what that means. Joining the launch team means you join our events over the next couple of months as we're building momentum for this campus, and you're committing to attend for about the first year of the campus to really get it off the ground. Of course, we would love if you stayed there, if you stayed more than just a year, and we hope that you will, but just to commit for a year to that campus would be amazing. We're hoping to have at least 100 people from this community right here, Walnut Grove campus, decide, yes, I want to be part of Willowbrook. Maybe you live in the Clayton Heights neighborhood and you just want to go to a church that's closer in your neighborhood where you can have relationships with your neighbors and invite them to a church where you go. Maybe you love new things, you just want to be part of shaping the culture of a new campus, and we'd love to have you. Maybe you're excited about being on mission. Maybe it's mission to the homeless, maybe it's a mission to new immigrants. Whatever it is that you're excited about being on mission for, we'd love to have you. Maybe you as a life group are praying and discerning about where God might be calling you to come and serve. And you're saying like, yeah, this Willowbrook campus, we'd like to do that as a whole life group. Or maybe there's someone in your life group who is ready to launch and to start a new life group. And they're willing to say, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to go to Willowbrook. And I'm actually going to start a new life group there and invite new people into that. That would be amazing. We would love to have people step into all of those roles. Maybe you've been serving here at Walnut Grove for many years, and you do an awesome job at your role serving, but you feel like, you know what, I think I could do more. I could step into something more, and you want to come and lead a team at our Willowbrook campus and do some training and equipping for people. We'd love to have you. As you think about how that might impact the Walnut Grove campus, it's going to open up opportunities to serve here as well. So another way that you can participate actually, in this new campus, is to step into the new roles that will be available here. As kids ministry people and youth leaders and tech people might leave here and it feels like, oh no, we want to hang on to them. But actually, no, it's God's grace at work. God's grace is at work. And so as there are new opportunities, he's going to provide more people to fill those roles as well. And you might be feeling like, yes, I can step into something new here at Walnut Grove. We would love that. If you're not sure yet about committing to the launch team or still have some questions and just want to come out, come to our next Connection event. We had a really good one this past week at Jericho Ridge Church, our two communities coming together to hear about the story of Jericho Ridge Church and to get to know each other. I learned there at that meeting that 8 years ago when that church bought the property where they are right now on 64th Avenue, there were a number of bids for that property. All of them developers, except for Jericho Ridge Church. They were the lowest bid, and the people that were selling it, which was also a church, went with them. The lowest bid, by a lot. But they said, we want this to be used for ministry. We want this church and this space to be used for ministry, for Jesus' kingdom in this neighborhood. So I feel like as a church, as North Langley, we're stepping into just an amazing legacy, a legacy of people who are on mission. And we're stepping into God's faithfulness as well. God's been faithful to that church and to that place for the last 20 years, and we want to steward that legacy well. As we close, I just want to share an image to help us see the value of all of our campuses working together in God's mission. God's mission of redeeming the whole world through his son, Jesus Christ. This is an image that comes from trees. Yes, I do love trees. Any other tree lovers here today? It's okay, you can admit it. Yeah, it's good. Maybe you're like, I'm a lover, but I'm not quite a tree hugger yet. I hug trees, just so you know. I love trees enough to give them a hug. It's another reason to get this great canteen here. Just want to show you a picture of some friends of mine hiking just last weekend. It's kind of unbelievable, but if you go up into the mountains, there's still a lot of snow up there. And I don't know if you can quite see the scale on the TV there, but we were standing below this giant hemlock tree up near Squamish, just this amazing, huge tree. And you're kind of looking up, 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 and you're like, I can't even see the top. It's so big. Sometimes, friends, we have an image in our minds of what a tree looks like. It's this solitary giant all by itself. But did you know that that hemlock tree there is actually connected to all the other hemlock trees in that area? It's connected to them through its root system underground. And this is going to sound really weird, but these trees actually talk to each other. They communicate with each other. They send signals to each other. And when one tree is low on resources or is struggling because of being invaded by pests or something like that, the other trees can actually sense that, and then they send resources underground through the root network to that tree. That is so cool. And when I think of our campuses here at North Langley, sometimes it's easy to think of like, okay, we've got a building here, a location here, a school here, four different things. But actually, we're all connected. We're all connected by God's Spirit and by what God is doing in us, by the shared family DNA that we have. And as we are this little campus, this little tree just starting off, becoming rooted and established there, I would love it if our other campuses can send their resources, their people, their energy, their love, their prayers to this new campus to help it grow and become established, to grow big and strong like the others. Friends at Walnut Grove, as we close today, let me just remind us all again of the good news of the gospel that Paul wrote to the Colossians. And that is for us here today also. You've been called to live lives worthy of Jesus, lives that are bearing fruit in every good work, no matter where you are planted. And that's only possible because of God's grace and his mighty power at work in us by his Spirit. We have an inheritance in the kingdom of light, God's kingdom that will never end. We've been rescued out of the dominion of darkness. We've been redeemed and our sins have been completely forgiven. We belong to the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus, our Savior. We are alive in Christ. We're going to respond in worship and prayer now to what God has done for us. I invite you just to stand. The worship team will start playing in just a moment here. As you come forward for prayer, perhaps, there's going to be prayer team members available to pray, and maybe you need prayer for endurance and patience. Maybe there are things in your life that you just feel like God is saying you need God's help with. Please come and be prayed for and pray with someone. Maybe there's something you want to give thanks for. There's something that God is doing in your life, and you just want to say, God, thank you. And you're going to come forward and give joyful thanks to the Lord in that. Can I encourage you also, maybe you're just praying for this Willowbrook campus. You're discerning about whether to join, or maybe you just want to be praying for it. Just come forward or head to the prayer room in the back and pray with someone. Just pray for God's blessing on this new campus. Let me pray with us here before we respond in song. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your grace, for the gift of your life, and we thank you that we get to participate in that life, that we get to be rooted and established in you, and to grow up in you, to bear much fruit. God, we can only do this by your Spirit, by what you're doing in our lives, and so we pray for that Spirit to be at work in North Langley Community Church, across our campuses, each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.